The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hey, honey, happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Guys, this is the day we can eat as much chocolate as we like, guilt-free. I had an Easter egg for breakfast today.
I absolutely love Easter, you know. Like, I love it. The big lamb roast dinner, gorgeous.
Isn't it?
Love it. It's one of those holidays that, like, it is just about, like, it's just family, like, filling your boots, doing nothing, like, slobbing around all day. I love all that.
That's all right for us. But guys, if you're on our challenge and you're over your calories, put that chocolate down right now.
Yeah, do as we say, not as we do, my love.
Well, we've counted ours. Ours is in our calories, so.
Yeah, I counted the one Easter egg, two Easter eggs, three Easter eggs.
Hey, it was all about balance, and I had one of each hand.
Right, come on, you. We've got all kinds to do here.
Hey, I can't wait. We've got him back again because the first time we interviewed her, we fucked up with the mics and unplugged it. Second time, lucky, bring her in. She's in the waiting room. She's like an honorary scouser, our next guest. She's our friend. She's done our classes. She's been in Liverpool more than anyone I know, working. I don't think there's anything that she's not good at. Everything she's done, she's won. Whether it's dancing, whether it's baking, whether it's singing, whether it's acting. Like, I am yet to find something that she is not perfect at. This week, we have the absolutely amazing Alexandra Burke. How are you, babe?
Such a lovely introduction. I'm wonderful, thank you, darling. How are you guys?
We are good.
Boss, babe.
Boss. I think that's the one word I've missed the most from you two.
And sound.
And sound. Boss and sound.
Boss and sound. How have you been, babe? How's lockdown been for you?
Oh, God. You know what? It's been up and down, if I'm completely honest. I think the first lockdown, where we all kind of thought, oh, this is going to be, it's not going to be for long. It's going to be very short-lived. And yeah. We all didn't kind of know what was going on. And the weather was lovely. You know, it was spring into summer. Yeah. We was all working out. Everything was great. Like, I was so happy to be home, to be able to do stuff at home that I'd, you know, could only imagine whilst I was on tour. And then we all got released from our houses, and then it felt like some kind of normality was kicking in, and then it felt like we could see our friends and family again, and then we got locked back up, and that's when it hit me, and I was like, oh my God, how long is this going to go on for? And if I'm honest, it's been tough. Like, I know everyone's been saying, like, this is probably the hardest lockdown, but I couldn't agree more with everyone saying that.
It is the
most toughest lockdown, because mentally everyone just wants a hug.
Yeah.
Everyone just wants to see their family. Everybody wants their family to be safe. And the thought of the unknown that we as humans can't control, I think, is the worst thing. So it's like, it's wanting to, you know, be supportive to other people, but you can only go so far, because you can only support like one other household. You can't, you know, go too far and support other friends, et cetera, et cetera. So I've made the most of Moonpig. Sending cards.
Yeah.
So just sending little cards to friends saying, thinking of you. And I think for me, That's helped me a lot. But the main thing, as you both know, is the fitness.
Yeah.
That's what's got me through everything.
Yeah, you love it, don't you? You need like the structure in the routine.
Well, yeah, well, Alex done...
Every day, that's something
you've
to get
done
up.
Lives every week, didn't you, with me on Instagram when we were doing it for free in
yeah.
the first lockdown. You've done it for two and a half, three months. Every week you showed up, shared yeah. the screen and done a live class. I was like, but that is what got us through it. Just doing something, having a routine yeah. and a structure.
Having a routine and a structure, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, I planned to take off from February 1st to August last year anyway. That was my time off because I'd been working relentlessly for 11 years. And if I'm honest, it was starting to impact my mental health. And I thought, I need to take some time for myself. I took up life coaching, took up therapy, and it made such a big difference. And it was the biggest gift I could have given to myself. But then, you know, the moment that you start seeing there's a reality kicking in, and when I say that, I mean like work starts to pick up, and then all of a sudden it gets cancelled, and then work starts to pick up again, and then it gets cancelled again. And you're just like, hold on a second, how are we all meant to live?
You're one of the like very few people that I actually know that's kind of managed to still work through the lockdown to a degree, haven't you? Like, you've still managed to do stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
the Queen went on Bake Off.
Wait there, she never went on Bake Off. She won.
Have you always been good at baking?
I've always loved baking. Baking's been my thing from a child. Don't get me wrong, the first lockdown, I may have been doing both of yous lot's workouts, but the weight weren't dropping because I was eating the cake. The cake I was baking. So when I'm there worrying, going, hold on a second, I'm calorie counting and I'm trying to like be in a deficit and all that palaver. And I'm like, but the weight's not. No, it's the cake. So I blame cake for everything, okay? I've laid off the cake.
I blame you for everything. I woke up last Friday morning, right, to a knock at 8 o'clock. And I was like, who the hell is knocking at our door at 8 in the morning? Guess what she sent? 12 Krispy Kreme. Fresh out the oven yes. donuts. I was like,
yeah.
I was like a crackhead. I was smelling the box in bed going.
Oh, did you hand them out to everyone to be kind and share?
I give two away no. and me and Connor at 5 each.
You greedy bastard.
Well, they were from myself and Gemma and from Nalini. And we all thought it would be nice for you both to wake up to a shitload of donuts because that's what life is about. Life is about donuts and alcohol.
Hey, if life gives you donuts, eat them.
Thank you. Exactly. And I've actually not tried to make my own donuts yet. That might be something I might attempt to make one day. Not anytime soon because, you know, I ain't got time for that right now because otherwise I'll eat all of them. I'll make them all and eat them all.
And your calorie counting on my group at the minute, so you can't. I have your text messages every night with your calories.
Yeah, and you do say, if it's within your calories, you can have it.
I do, babe, you're right. I'll take that back. If it's there in your you calories, go. Babe, you
Why
can have it.
Why did them 5 donuts fit in your calories, did they, Gannett?
No, but they fitted in my mouth.
But you know what, right? So Bake Off, yeah? You know that actually happened, like, really last minute. So when they...
Did it?
Yeah, so when they told me and invited me on the show, I didn't have long to prepare. And it was all very, very last minute. So I tried to think of something that I could do, and with their help, of course, but then actually going on it, I don't think I realised how competitive I actually get. Because I walked in going, oh, I'm not competitive.
Alex, I've only met you a few times and I know how competitive you are.
Oh my God, it's so bad. I realised that in lockdown that don't kid yourself. Even when you and I, Richie, was on the Peloton and we were racing, and I was like, he's not beating me. I don't care if he's a PT.
We were neck and neck, wasn't it? It was like 10, 10, 11, 11. And then I'd go above Alex and she'd go above. And then it got to 8 minutes. And I don't know where, she was like, who's that fella who's on the blood doping? She was like the blood doper, she just took off. I was literally left in the dust with 8 minutes to go, she battered me. And I was thinking, I'm doing brilliant here, I'm going to get it. And then you had me off last minute. Connor walked up, I was lying on the floor with my feet up on the banister. I was dizzy, sweating. I was seeing stars, I had my inhaler.
It literally, if you'd see, I wish I'd taken a picture of what I looked like after that ride, because I swear to God, I thought to myself, nah, I'm about to die of exhaustion here because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So I'm ready for the next one, Richie. Let's go.
I'm not. No, I am ready. I'm in training.
So I've realised the competitiveness in me is a real thing and I shouldn't deny it or lie to people anymore. I'm done with the lies.
Or yourself, babe.
Or myself. Yeah, I'm being honest to myself and the reality is I'm competitive and I want to win it all. So if I can't win it, I won't do it. Simple.
do you think, like you were saying about last year when you were planning on taking like a 6 month break, you know, to just because working so much was mentally affecting you in the end? Like me and Rich have said, like how much we didn't realise we needed a step back and we needed to take a space. Do you think it's benefited yet in terms of your mental health loads?
Definitely. You know, it's funny because like there is, I feel like if you can try and find the positive in the fact that we've all been in lockdown, the fact that we've all had time to think and reevaluate our lives, like people need to try and see the silver lining and the positive side to what we've all just been through as the world, right? Because I know that there's been a lot of people who've been sick, a lot of people have lost family members, etc. And I feel like the way that the pandemic went and how COVID just kind of just exploded, we didn't foresee that. So if you could, if we could all have just made the most of our time at home while supporting family members, et cetera, I think that was the way to go through it. And that's the way that I saw it. I thought to myself, right, well, I want to come out of this lockdown, however long that's going to be, being a little bit stronger, whether that's physically or mentally, but mainly it was mentally that I was looking for. So for me to take that time off and not know that it was going to be extended to a year, I feel like it's done me the world of good, because winning the X Factor, then going up until then losing my mum, and then continuously working and then not grieving, mm-hmm. putting that on pause and deliberately putting it on pause, that's not healthy.
No,
and I really would tell and encourage people, allow your feelings and emotions to come through, because I tell you something, I was holding it back so much and running away from therapy like it was something that was, you know, the most terrible thing in the world, and it really isn't. But it was just, I was scared. I think I was just really scared of how I was going to feel, how I was going to feel opening up. I'm still scared of that because I stopped for a couple of months because my therapist had a baby and I hadn't spoken to her for a while. And I felt myself going back into a really weird place, not a dark place, but just a weird place of not wanting to open up. And the moment I saw her, I just burst into tears.
It's like a limbo, isn't it? Where you just kind of like, you pretend and you pretend and you pretend, and then you get like, that becomes who you are, that pretending.
Yes.
And then one day you just like stop and you open it up and you go, oh, fucking hell, what's going on? And you just be like, oh, and it blindsides you a little bit.
And I've completely realised that I don't give enough time to myself. I don't give myself enough self-love. And in this past year, or the past 6 months rather, I think doing the show that you guys know I've done, which we'll do another interview about that show when it's aired.
Yes.
But doing that show has completely changed my life.
You were so nervous about it as well.
Oh, you know.
Oh, I feel like we can't talk about this and I want to talk about it more.
I've got shivers because I tell you something, it was the most life-changing experience. I remember coming home and being on my street with Nalini and Nadia in my car. They picked me up from the airport and I got to this road and I went, I don't want to fucking be here. And they just both looked at me like, why don't you want to be? I was like, because I don't like the reality of my life. I don't like this. I want to be back where I was, where there was no phones, where no one could bother me, where there was literally, I was fighting every single day to prove a point to myself. And I made myself fucking proud. Do you know what I mean? And I want to go back to that point. And all I said to myself was, I've got to just continue that feeling in normality, in everyday life. And hopefully I am doing it. I've fudged up a few times because, you know, you get carried away with work and stuff. And when work comes in now, you kind of grab everything that's coming at you. Yeah. But I've just realized that I've got to give myself a bit more self-love. I have to appreciate every single day when I wake up, I tell myself, you know, it's so strange. I wake up and I go, oh man, I can't wait to work out today. This is really exciting because it's a privilege.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it to look good. I'm doing it because it's a privilege to have limbs and move them. It's a privilege to be able to move my body and to stretch and to feel and to hear, to be able to sing, to be able to do what I want to do every single day, just to walk down the road, to spend time with my babies, my dogs. It's a privilege because there are so many people that have lost their lives this year. So many people that have lost family members, you know?
We're very lucky in that all three of us have come out of lockdown the other side of it in such a good position.
Yeah.
And we have. And, you know, obviously not everybody is in as good a position as we are. And not everyone kind of went through that experience where they were like, okay, so I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to do that workout because that's the thing that I know that's going to get me through. I mean, don't get me wrong. So many people have got into exercise because the stigma of going into a gym and the fear of things has gone because it was just you, which is amazing.
Yes.
But then on the other hand, I think for anybody that's listening, that's still thinking like, oh, I just can't grasp grasp it. You take the first step, and do you know what? I feel like the first step isn't always the hardest. Mm. It's about the seventh or eighth, and it's keeping that walk going and just keep saying to yourself, I'm not doing any of this because I need to impress anyone. I'm not doing it for Instagram. I'm not doing it for other people. And it's not even about a dress size or a scale or, you know, calories. It's just about how you feel and how you see yourself.
Absolutely.
I've got a friend. She's one of my closest friends. And she is, I would say, probably about size 18. She is one of the most self-loving and positive people because she's like, I am this size because that is who I am and I feel comfortable at that size and I'm not here to impress anybody.
Good
and
for her.
She's so good in who she, it's like Bonnet, Rich, and Rich, you know, she's that, and she's just, to her, she'll say, people might be bothered about my weight, but I am not. Mm. And she's fit still and she still trains, but she does everything for her. And I just think it's so refreshing that now barriers are kind of coming down where there's this expectation of women, and with everything that's been in the news lately, all these expectations and the differences between men and women are all starting to change, and women are becoming so much more like, no, we love ourselves, so you are going to learn to love us how we are.
Amen. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I've got a really big belief in the power of prayer, and every single night when I pray, I'm praying for people's mental health, and I say it like genuinely from my heart, like I really pray that people come out of this now with this third lockdown, whatever number it is, I think it's the third one. But I just want people to come out of it knowing that they are worth it and they are worth every single moment that the universe has given to them.
Yeah.
Because it's so important to know your worth and so important to understand that we're all not here forever.
Oh, God,
so just 100%. Make the fucking most of it. And we're unique. Everyone's unique. If we are, if you understand what your purpose is, you will only be fulfilled in life. And if you understand that gratitude is the biggest winner, of all, to be grateful for everything, you win in life.
I think that was my changer. Going through life, if you can start finding, like learning, like you've just said, you're enough. I try and promote this in all my classes to everyone and how unique you are. And be it just, if you can find one thing in your day, we were talking about this on another podcast with Freddie about being grateful. And he was like, he had that little to be grateful for. He was saying, dropping a piece of toast and it landing without being butt side down. Grateful it never landed. He was like, just finding something that can breed another bit of positivity. And then if you're grateful, it just breeds more and more and more.
Absolutely.
It's like forcing yourself to see the glass half full.
Yes.
And if for long enough, like if you force yourself to do it or even fake it for as long as you can, eventually you'll start to believe it.
One thing I think people need to understand as well, I was listening to a podcast the other day, Oprah, and someone said something really interesting on there. If something is sparking you joy within that moment, you are meant to be where you're meant to be. If something makes you smile, if something brings you happiness in something that you are creating, whether it's a business, whether it's an idea, whether it's just, I don't know, reading a certain book, whatever that may be, if that's bringing you joy within that moment, you are meant to be where you're meant to be.
Like Richie with the donuts.
Richie with the donuts. You're meant to be there. You're meant to eat them. Yes. Yes. Amen. And then they went on to say about the company you keep that brings you joy or that makes you feel good within yourself. And if you're making them feel good, like it's a two-way thing. And I really realized within my life that I had a few people around me that I would consider amazing friends. But every time I was in their company, they made me feel like complete and utter crap. And it was happening for years. And this past year has made me realize more than ever about being very careful about the influences that are around you and the company that you keep around you and the people you connect with on a daily basis. It's very important for your mental health and very important for your self-worth to know that you're surrounded by people who you can come together with and create joy and create love and create happiness. So I really encourage people to reevaluate the people they have around them and the things that they are choosing to do in their lives.
Yeah.
And if it is bringing them joy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so important.
I can't knock that with you no more.
I'm about to hang up. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
TTFN.
Oh, Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of podcasts and we want to make yours. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk to find out more.
You forgot the bit about the first free episode.
Oh, and tell us you heard this ad and we'll produce your first episode for free.
Great. Email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
It's just been everywhere over Instagram. It's a year since theatres closed, hasn't it? So it was saying first out, last in. And you were going to do, was it this year, My Best Friend's Wedding? It was the first time it was ever going to be on, wasn't it? What's going on with all your theatre plans?
So that is happening. I can't say if it's definitely going to be socially distanced within the theatres, but the actual tour is going ahead now. We're starting rehearsals in August, and then we actually go on tour in September. And I'm really praying that it can be held to its full capacity within the theatres, because I really believe that the theatres, they need that. They've been closed for so long. So for them to be half full, I think would just be a shame.
Yeah.
But obviously things need to be taken into consideration about safety and people's health. So by that time, hopefully by the time we get there, I'm fingers crossed, everything will just run smoothly.
In my head, I'm thinking, how can you rehearse in August for a three-hour show and be ready in September?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, there's so much I really want to say on here that I'm not allowed to say. But I actually don't even have time to learn that script right now, because I will forget it, because I'm learning two other scripts right now.
Oh, what's that for? Can you say?
No, I can't say. So my brain at the minute is, and I said it to my agent 2 days ago, I was on the phone with him and I said, I'm having a bit of a moment, because usually I can get off script in 5 days. I'm having trouble retaining stuff. And there was an article out the other day about basically so many people at the minute are struggling to retain things to remember because our brains haven't been stimulated enough in the past year.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? Because it's almost like we've forgotten to learn.
So what else have you got lined up, babe, work-wise?
There's so much I can't talk about still. It pisses me off. Okay. How can I word it? There is a show that I filmed. Can't talk about that. That comes out in September.
Is that the one that we know about?
Yes.
Oh, is that right? September?
Well, it was meant to be April.
Oh, I'm fuming.
I know, I'm fuming. Because we could have talked about it then.
Oh, my God.
But it's now coming out in September. When we finish recording, I'll give you all the tea after
yes.
this.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And then there's a project that I'm doing. I'll be really careful here. There's a project that I'm doing. I start shooting that in 6 weeks' time. That's a really big deal for me. That I still can't talk about. That's the end of that conversation. And then
this is like the Harry and Meghan interview.
Oh, come on, Harry, tell us.
Wow. Okay, what I can talk about is I'm still recording my album.
Oh,
yay.
When's that out?
I wanted it to be around the show we were talking about, but because they moved the show, I've moved the project.
Yeah.
So I still have more time to record, and I'm back in the studio next week. And then there's another show I'm doing, and I can't say what that is. So it's the end of that one. So there's a lot going on, guys.
There's a lot going on, but we don't know.
Do you know what, though? Al, how good is it that, like, you know, because we've spoken to, like, loads of different people that work in, like, the entertainment industry who were, like, you know, for ages, the work just dried up.
Yeah.
We spoke to loads of actors. And, you know, even when we spoke to Tamsin and Tom, like, loads of people were saying, you know, the things just aren't there at the moment. You're probably the first person in the industry that we know that's
not
really,
stopped.
Like, I'm really busy.
And I'm so happy.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it's amazing that these things happen. But I do think as well, though, because you've worked so hard for so long, now things are paying off in terms of, well, you know what, you've put the graft in for so long that things start to happen. Like,
right.
I had this conversation with my dad because I was like, oh, I feel like I PT'd for years and years and years. And then everyone was like, oh, Harriet's business has just done really well overnight. And I was like,
it hasn't.
It was years in the making of things. You know, you have to lay the foundation. Same with you, Rich, isn't it? And you just lay the foundations for years and you build your rep and you learn your skill and whatever it is that you're doing. And then one day, it does just, everything falls into place and then everything starts coming to you, and the more you give off that positive vibe and you start believing in yourself and you're like, no, actually, I do know what I'm doing here. I am good at what I'm doing here. It all starts to fall into place, shows, yeah. Doesn't it, babe?
It's so beautiful to hear you say that because so many people do think I always get the comment of, oh, if it wasn't for X Factor, you know, you wouldn't be where you are. And I do agree with that to a degree, but people don't know the grafting that I put in before X Factor. Yeah. I wouldn't have won X Factor if my mum didn't put me through my paces before. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was a tough competition. And yes, I am where I am because of X Factor, but I am also where I am because my mum basically had a whip and a chain on me from the age of 9 and said, bitch, you better get upstairs and start rehearsing. You better start performing all the time. You better do this, do that. And, you know, that's how it's made me who I am today.
And there's about another 50 X Factor winners who haven't gone on to do nothing.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
You're probably in the top 3 or 4 most successful ever X Factor contestants to come out of the country.
I never think of it like that.
So great, it was a good platform, but you did the work before and you've just said yourself you haven't actually stopped working until last year for 11 years. That is a long time.
And it's too long. I would never, ever encourage someone to do that, ever. I'd encourage people to take time, like, off at times when you can and that suits you, because when I think for me, I'm such a workaholic and look, don't get me wrong, it's amazing that I love what I do and I'm so very lucky to be able to call all of that work, do you know what I mean, and make money and have and be able to have a living because of it. But at the same time, I'm so pleased that I caught on to the fact that it was disturbing my mental health, yeah, by not giving myself any time back, by making it all about everybody else but me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why with this particular show that airs in September, they said to me, why are you here? And I went, I'm here for me. And they were like, no, like, seriously, why are you here? Are you doing it for someone? Are you, you know, whatever that is? And I went, I'm not even doing it for my mum. I'm doing it for me. Like, it's the first time I was able to say that ever in my life and go, this isn't for my fans. This isn't for my mother. This isn't for my family. This is solely from my heart and it's just for me. And I'm so proud to be able to have the confidence to say that I want to do something for myself and prove something for me, rather than I'm doing it for everybody else all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's almost like quite a British thing, that, isn't it? To, like, we almost have to be apologise for doing things for ourselves. And I think personally, a lot of women are very apologetic for spending even an hour a day on themselves. I'm like, who are you apologising to? You are allowed to wake up every day and make even a small portion of that day about yourself.
Absolutely.
And also from doing it, you get such a better sense of self-worth.
Yes.
And, like, you just feel so much more confident. And you're like, actually, I am ruling the day because I've done this thing for me.
Yes.
And that's where, like, comes back to the exercise and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people that have got into
lockdown has been key for people to have to slow down and go, do you know what? I am allowed to put myself first. And especially being locked in and not seeing people. And it was essential that we've put ourselves first, because a lot of people have been on the edge over the last 12 months. And if you didn't learn to put yourself first, you were putting yourself in a really bad headspace.
Yes.
So I think it's been a really good learning curve in a lot. Like, even though it's been so sad and people, like we say, we've been through a lot of trauma, there's been some really amazing things that we've learned through doing what we've done.
Absolutely.
So what's the first thing you've got planned for when we get out? Have you got a holiday?
I actually have a gig on the day that Boris announced everything was, like,
no
opening
way
up.
The first day you're allowed out. We've been talking about all this time for you and you go, I'm working.
Do you know what, though? Are you buzzing for
buzzing
again to get back on stage?
Yeah. When I saw that in the diary and I was like, oh my God, I've actually got a gig and it's going to go ahead. I was like, oh my God, I'm ready to do rehearsals. I was so happy to just know that I'm going to get a microphone.
You'll turn up about 4 hours before the gig and be like, hi, did you do anything?
Yes. But the biggest thing that I think I'm looking forward to is my brother and I and his wife, Gemma, and Nalini, we've all planned a week away in Cornwall.
Oh, lovely.
And we've already booked an Airbnb, and that's in July at some point. And that's the most exciting thing, I think, is the fact that I'm going to be with my family and we're all going to be together.
Yeah.
And there's going to be no restrictions and we're all going to be able to walk and do stuff with the dogs and actually walk into a shop, walk into a pub, have a drink, actually be able to sit down, have a meal all together.
Together.
I cannot wait for that moment.
I've already got our baby minders. I've already rang. She's getting minded. I will see you in 6 months, baby girl.
Hey, Al, who have you been living with? Because you're in the house by yourself, I'm guessing, isn't it? But have you had anyone move in?
Nalini was the only person that basically was my support bubble. So I'm by myself now, but she's been back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, from her house to mine. And she's been amazing. And I think we both needed each other. Wow. And I hope when she listens to this that she goes, yes, I agree. Or she might go, no, bitch, I didn't need you. I mean, you could go either way. But I think it's just been lovely because we've both like been on the fitness journey together as well.
Yeah.
We've encouraged each other. We haven't been able to see Gemma, but we've been trying to encourage her as just the girls just going, come on, we can do this and stuff. But I do feel for people who have been alone the whole time.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I don't mind being by myself. I've not been tested as far as being alone for too long, so I don't know how I would have reacted. But even now, like having Nalini come back and forth and both of us supporting each other, that's enough for me. Like I'm good with that. But to be alone the whole time, I just feel for people that have had to experience that, because that is no joke. Because when you are alone in your own thoughts, you've got to be so careful. So I really just want to send out a load of positive vibes to those who are listening to this who have been alone for majority of the lockdowns. Just my heart is with you and I hope you're okay.
Babe, thank you so much for being our guest again.
Thank you for having me.
This time, I'm hoping we haven't got technical issues, because last time, remember, we unplugged your microphone and we never had the... because Gemma, our producer, was off. We had to do it ourselves and fucked up. So thank you so much for coming back, babe.
Ah, thanks, Al.
Thank you, darling. Thank you for having me, guys.
And I hope we're out soon and we get to have a drink and celebrate everything we've got through the last year.
Amen. ASAP.
Yeah, once you've done your gig and you've got some time, come up and see us and we'll go out for a little drinky.
Yes, soon. Soon, soon, soon.
Oh, yes.
And a spin class, please.
Oh, do you know what? I know we've had her on before, but I really enjoy every time we do Alex, because I think she's so funny. Considering how successful she's been over the last like 10 years, she's still a normal, not well, isn't she? Like, she can have aesthetics with you.
When we went to ghetto golfing round town, we got wrecked and you can't stop it. She'll just chat to she's in the middle of everyone. She is like the life and soul of the party. She is a ball.
It's funny, isn't it? Because like when someone gets to that level of fame, or you know what I mean? Like you'd think that they kind of change the personality or who they are, but she's very like almost to a degree unapologetic. And it's lovely that she's like, no, this is who I am. If I want to go over and talk to that person, I'll go talk to that person. It's like, do you know what? I wish more people in like her position were like that.
Having a bevy in the toilets like all girls do.
And chatting shit.
Doing the mascara going, hey girl, do you want to borrow my mazzy? What are we going to do for this week's challenge, babe?
So most of our listeners, a lot of our listeners, are either training online with myself or with Rich. And that means that you are both of us, down your neck, going, girl, have you tracked them calories? I want you to this week, let's kind of start adapting our diets and saying, okay, do you know what? I can have a bit of this, but I'm going to still hit my target. I'm going to still hit my goal for the week, whatever that is, or my long-term goal. So let's see if we can incorporate bit more of our chalky eggs into our recipes and our meals this week and still lose pounds.
If you're on a weight loss journey, defo, isn't it? And actually track them. Don't phone up and go, why haven't I lost all the weight I wanted? Because I've been tracking all week. When you haven't. So use your tracker. That's what we're saying.
You've been licking the tinfoil. You have been licking the tinfoil.
It's all these little licks and nibbles. They add up.
Well, little pickers wear big knickers. And on that note...
that is true. On that note, I'm going to the shops to go buy some bigger ones because I have not stopped eating this week.
Bye, babe.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Newsjacking with Dan and Katie.
Hello, my name's Dan.
Hiya, I'm Katie.
And we are back with our brand new podcast,
Newsjacking. Is that what we're calling it?
That's what we're going with, yeah. Not to be mistaken for news jerking.
No, we did talk about news jerking, didn't we?
Posh Bem, the producer, can you confirm the name of our podcast? Is it newsjacking or news jerking?
No, we're going newsjacking.
Okay. Better cancel those t-shirts I got ordered then.
We should probably explain what newsjacking is.
Yeah, what is newsjacking anyway?
Siri, what's newsjacking?
Newsjacking. The practice of taking advantage of current events or news stories as a way of promoting or advertising your own product or brand.
So essentially what you're saying is we're talking about other people's news as a way of drawing attention to our own new podcast.
Basically, yeah. It's shameless, but I'm hoping it will be effective.
So that's News Jerking with Dan and Katie. Going to be starting...
Jacking.
That's News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Yeah. You can find us now in your podcast app.
News Jacking with Dan and Katie. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram @DanandKatie.